Church, hold on. Can I get your attention for just a moment?
Sunny had another scan this week.
Yes. Sunny had another. Amen. Church, hold on just a second. Sunny had another scan this week. We've been praying for Sunny this year. She's one of our ones that we've been praying for every day. She had another scan this week, and it came back great. Let's praise the Lord. Amen. He is worthy of it all. Amen. Amen. Church, in these last few moments, I just got a word I want to share with you. Before we get to that, I do want to remind you that we're going to start our study in the Gospels next week. We've kind of been in the Gospels for a couple weeks anyways, but we're going to start studying the Gospels. I don't know how long that will be. I don't know if it'll be a month or 6 months or a year, but we're going to start taking our teaching from the Gospels for the foreseeable future. Let's put it that way. If you don't have a reading plan or anything that you're doing right now, I would encourage you to get into the Word and start reading the Gospel. Start with Matthew, and I've posted on the website a 45-day reading plan. If you were to start with Matthew chapter 1, and I think it's about two chapters a day, you'll read through the Gospels in 45 days. So that's on the website. I'll send a link out to that. That would be a great way to start the year. If you're already studying something or if you're already engaged in another reading plan, that's fine. But if you're looking for something right now, I would point you towards the website. And again, I'll send out that message with that link. The other thing I want to say this morning, it's the last day of the year, and I tend to reflect. I don't know where I get that sentimental nature from. I think it has something to do with my dad, but I tend to reflect on things, and certainly looking back on this year, I want to thank you for allowing me this opportunity. Thank you for the responsibility of this position, and I'll be the first to admit that I have still quite a bit to learn and a lot of room to grow. I thank you for your patience with me, but I just thank you for your support and your love and your prayers and for the opportunity that you've given me to be a part of this ministry. So I want to thank you for that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for dedications and baptisms. I thank you for a praise report, Lord, that you've continued to move in Sunny for healing, Lord, to bring health and to restore her health, Lord. We thank you. We don't want to overlook any part of it. In these last moments of this year, in this last day of celebration, Lord, we want to acknowledge you for all of it. And along the way, Lord, we know that there are those that have lost loved ones this year. We know that there are those from our family that aren't with us anymore, Lord. And yet, even in that, we celebrate and remember their lives. And we know that they are with you, Lord. So we thank you. Father, in these last few moments, I pray that you would speak to us through your word. And that we would, in this time, whatever it is, Lord, that we would focus on you and receive your spirit this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. With this last message of the year, I want to talk to you a little bit about baptism. And there's just a few things about baptism that I want to share with you this morning. The first is this. I want to tell you this morning that baptism is an act of obedience. And when we talk about obedience in the church, we need to be careful. There's some things we really need to be careful of. Because we can talk about obedience and we can make a list of things that we should do and we can start checking things off that list and start to think that because we've checked some things off a list that we're okay. Let's be clear that we believe in this church that salvation comes by grace through faith. There's no boasting in it for me. It's nothing I did. It's nothing I checked off of a list. It comes by grace and by grace alone. So when we talk about obedience, we need to be careful. We discussed this when we studied the book of Hebrews. We talked a lot about obedience. And one of the things that I said then, and I want to remind you now, obedience is not the requirement for salvation. Obedience to God's word becomes the evidence that we're saved. Okay? So as we talk about obedience, let's just be careful that we don't want to get that checklist and start checking things off the list and thinking we're right with the Lord because we checked some things off the list. That obedience becomes the evidence that we're saved, not the requirement to be saved. But that said, I think baptism is a great place to start. If we want to be obedient to God's word, if we've placed our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, baptism is a great place to start. We can see in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, if we look at these words, and these are some of Jesus' final words before ascending to the right hand of the Father. These are some of his final words. So he's going away. I would think that whatever he said in this moment was extremely important. That he took these last moments before he went to his Father, he took these last moments to share this message with us. And this is what he said. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we see in these final words that Jesus took this opportunity to speak to his disciples and say, "Go and make disciples and baptize them." So as a church, if we're reading this and if we're going to be obedient to God's word, then we should be making disciples and we should be baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And it says, yes, teach them to obey the things that I've commanded you, but that even comes after he says, baptize them. So for a church, if we're going to be obedient, we would want to look at this and say, it was important for Jesus. He said, "I have all authority on heaven and on earth." He has all authority, and with that authority, what is he charging us to do? He's charging us to make disciples and to baptize them. And if you're not saved, maybe you're not part of the church, what does this message mean for you? It means this: if you desire to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, one of the first things that you should do is be baptized. It's the first thing that he commanded his disciples to do. When someone comes to faith, baptize them. So if we're going to be obedient, I think baptism is a great place to start. Now, through this year, I have encouraged all of us. I've encouraged us, hey, ask questions. I don't want us to sit around and just take things at face value. Seek God. Ask God to reveal himself to you. Get in his word. Study his word. Pray and ask for wisdom. I think it's important, and I think it's okay to sit around and talk and question and seek God. I don't ever want us to just rest on, well, his ways are higher than our ways, so we're not going to understand. There's a time and a place where we say that. There's a time and a place where we come to the realization that there are some things that we just can't grasp in this life, and that his ways are indeed higher than our ways. But I don't want us to rest on that. I don't want us to rest on that. I want us to seek him. I want us to ask for knowledge. I want to ask God to reveal himself to us, that we would know him better. All of that said, sometimes we can make things more complicated than they have to be. Sometimes we can do too much talking and too much questioning. When it comes to being obedient to God's word, sometimes we should take it for what it is and maybe ask questions later. When I think of the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes and Peter starts to preach from the word. And when he's done preaching from God's word, the people there said, "What do we do?" It says they've been cut to the heart, and they say, "What do we do now?" They knew when the Holy Spirit came and when they heard God's word preached, they knew that they had to do something. They knew that they could not leave that moment the same way they came into it. So they said, "What do we do?" And if we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I want us to seek God. I think it's good to ask questions, and it's good to ask for wisdom. But there comes that moment, and it's not very complicated. When the Holy Spirit comes, and when you're cut to the heart, and you get to that place, what do I do? It's this simple: repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we can get caught up in these moments. When does this happen, and what do I do, and when do I receive the Spirit? Does it happen here? Does it happen? Repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. Let's not make it more complicated than it has to be. If we're going to be obedient to God's word, when we're cut to the heart in that way, and we know there's something we have to do to respond, repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. And by the way, if you want to talk to God, and if you want to ask God for wisdom, a great time, I'm not going to say it's the best time, but a great time to ask God for wisdom is after you've repented, been baptized, and received the Holy Spirit. We know that the Spirit of God will lead us and guide us in all truth. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, that's a great time to say, "God, reveal yourself to me. I want more of your truth in my life. That's a great time to start asking some questions. So I think baptism is a great act of obedience. But I don't think it's just that. Number two, I think baptism becomes a sign of fellowship. If for us in the church, it becomes that moment where we identify ourselves with the body of Christ. I know that there are many people in here visiting today from other churches. I'm glad you're here today for these baptisms and these dedications. And we know that we are part of the body of Christ together. And that these people that were baptized today, it became a moment where we recognize, hey, they're with us. And they're saying publicly, I'm with the body of Christ. I name myself with all the people for 2,000 years that have placed faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. I'm with them. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14, it says this, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many." So for the people that were baptized today, for these people, this would be a good day to ask themselves, Lord, what is my part in your body? I'm a part of your body now. What's my place? What's my purpose? How have you gifted me, Lord, that I could build up and edify your body? It's a great day for those people to start to ask that and to think that way. For we know that every one of us that has placed faith in Jesus Christ is a part of the body. And every one of us has a purpose. And every one of those purposes is important. As a church, we have been served notice today that these people that got baptized, they're a part of the body of Christ. And we have been served notice that we are responsible for them, right? Exhort one another daily. We're responsible for these that got in this water today and made that confession of faith. We're responsible to exhort them, encourage them, challenge them, teach them, edify them, and love them. We're responsible for them. And we've been served that notice today as we witness their baptism. We see in John chapter 13, verse 35, and we read this verse a couple weeks ago, Jesus says this, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So if someone was going to grade us as a church, if we were going to have a report card as a church, maybe the first measure, and maybe the most important measure we would look at today is, how are we loving one another? And we have been served notice today. If you want to ask me about my relationship with Christ, if you want to grade my relationship with Christ, it's this simple. How am I loving Jay Marlowe? How am I loving Chris Clark? How am I loving each one of these that was baptized this morning? Because by the measure with which I'm loving them, that is the measure of my relationship with Jesus Christ. So as a church, we have this sign of fellowship with these people. And that if we're going to be looking at our relationship with Christ, one of the first places we can start is, how are we loving these people here this morning that were baptized? Now you might be thinking, well, there's someone sitting, you know, a couple pews over that I'm not real fond of. Don't look now. Don't look. And you're thinking, well, I'm glad I never witnessed their baptism because now I'm not responsible for them. I don't think it really works that way. Okay? We have a responsibility to love one another. We have a responsibility to love all people. And in the church, we have a responsibility to believe the best of each other. So you may not have witnessed the baptism of the person sitting next to you, but that doesn't mean you're not responsible for loving them. Were any of you here when I was baptized? Some would remember. My parents, thank you. But just because you weren't here when I got baptized doesn't mean you don't have to love me. You're forced to love me. Okay? Number three, I believe that baptism is not just symbolic. Baptism, yeah, it's an act of obedience, yes, but I don't think it's just an act of obedience. When we honor God by being obedient to His word, it does bring glory to His name. But as with most things in the Bible, when God commands us to do something, it's for His glory, yes, but there's also something in it for us. It's something that he's wanting to bless us or protect us or keep us from. So when we are obedient to God's word in that way, there's something in it for us. And baptism is the same way. I believe it's an act of obedience, but I don't think it's just an act of obedience. I believe there is a sign of fellowship that these people have come into the body of Christ, but I don't think it's just a rite of passage or a symbolic act. As Christians, we celebrate baptism and we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I don't think it's just a date that we mark on a calendar or a picture that we have that we post on Facebook. I think it's more than that. And in these last few moments, I just want to examine Jesus' baptism just to see what it could possibly mean for us. Now, Jesus' baptism is covered in all four Gospels, particularly Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The Synoptic Gospels have a very similar account of Jesus' baptism. Now, some of you might be turning in your word right now, but don't look too far ahead because I want to ask you a question. For example, if we look at Matthew chapter 3, in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus' baptism is covered. And he's baptized and he comes up out of the water. And when he comes out of the water, the heavens open up. And the Spirit of God descends upon him and remains on him. And then the last verse of Matthew chapter 3 says this: "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So at that point, for all of eternity, God identified Jesus as his Son. "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Does anybody know, following Jesus' baptism in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, can anyone tell me, Pastor, I already talked to you, so no guessing. Can anyone tell me, what's the next event, what's the next story that we see Jesus in following his baptism? The temptation. That's right. Now, here, if you look in the Gospel of Luke, immediately following his baptism is the genealogy of Christ. But then again, the next event you see, it goes right to the temptation. It goes right to Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. Now, again, let's connect a couple things here. Jesus is baptized, and the heavens open up, and God declares, "This is my Son. This is my beloved Son, and I am pleased with him." And what's the first thing that Satan tries to do? He tries to bring into question the identity of Jesus Christ. He starts to tempt him. Jesus has been fasting, and he starts to tempt him, and he says, "If you really are the Son of God, just following God saying, 'This is my Son.'" I want to see this. He says, "This is my Son. This is my Son." And Satan says, "If you really are the Son of God, turn those stones into bread. If you really are the Son of God, cast yourself down and let's see these angels protect you." So Satan, from that moment to this moment, has done everything in his power to get us to question the identity of Jesus Christ. But let's keep going. "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then Satan says to him, "If you really are the Son, if you really are the Son." And we know that Jesus overcomes that temptation, right? If he passes that test, whatever you want to say. He does not sell out his birthright. He does not change his identity for the fleeting promise of a moment. He holds on to his identity. He knows who his Father is, and he knows who he is. So he passes that wilderness temptation. Now, after that, does anybody know, not specifically, but in general, what happens after that? After Jesus comes out of the wilderness, after he faces that temptation and he overcomes it, now what do we see in his life? What's the next thing? Just in general. I thought I heard someone say it. He begins his ministry. He begins his ministry. So we see God, he raised out of the water and the heavens open up and God says, "This is my Son and I am pleased with him." And Satan says, "If you really are the Son of God, do this, do that." But Jesus holds fast in his identity, knowing what he is, knowing who he is, knowing who his Father is. And then he is released to this ministry that changes the world. He's released into this teaching and preaching, and he's calling disciples, and he's making disciples, and he's performing miracles, and he's changing lives, and he changes the world. Now, when I think about our baptism, I think there's something here for us. What if we came to a place where we so clearly knew who our Father was, and we know who Jesus is, and we know who we are in Jesus, that any time that identity is questioned, any time we're questioning our identity, am I a child of God? If you really were a child of God, do this. If you really were a child of God, do that. But we hold on to our birthright. We hold on to our identity in Jesus Christ. And if we're able to do that, what could God release us into in this year? In the same way that Jesus was released into his earthly ministry and he changed the world with his teaching and his love and his sacrifice and his service and his miracles, what could God release in us in the new year, in 2018, if we would hold on to our birthright, if we would hold on to our identity in Jesus Christ? And see, I think our baptism becomes a source for us in that. That I know when I went in that water, some 30 years ago in Clarence Ferris Pool, when I went in that water, I left the old self in that water. I left my flesh in that water. Right? I was dead to self, and I was buried under that water, and I left my old self in that water, and I was raised up to new life in Jesus Christ. And I know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that raised me up to new life, raised me up out of that water, the Holy Spirit. And what would happen for me and what would happen for us if I was so clearly set on who my Father is and who Jesus is and who I am in Jesus that I would no longer sell out my birthright for the fleeting promise of a moment, that I would hold on to my birthright? What could God release me to? What could God release us to as a church? What miracles could we see happen in lives? What homes could we see change? What people could we see set free in our ministry if we would hold on to our identity and hold on to Jesus Christ? Amen? How much easier life would be? Let me be clear. How much easier my life would be? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me right now. How much easier my life would be if from time to time I would remind myself that I'm baptized. If from time to time, when the flesh wells up, when my mouth thinks that it's in control of me, but if I would just remind my mouth, you're not in control of me anymore. If I would remind my tongue from time to time, you're not in control. Get yourself back in the water, flesh. I put you to death in that water. Get back in there. I was raised to new life in Jesus Christ. I no longer walk by the flesh. I walk by the Spirit. And how much easier my life would be if from time to time I would just shut my mouth. I heard a laugh. I thought I might get an amen or two out of that. In fact, some of you showed great restraint of your flesh by not saying amen. With the holidays, we've been spending time with family, and I love this time, and we like to play games. We like to play games, and I'm very competitive. I don't like to lose. And oftentimes when we play these games, we play women versus men. And I think this is an awful idea. I think it's awful. I think the Bible even says, what God has joined together, let no board game separate. It's something like that. And there's one particular game that we've been playing this week, and every time we've played it at different houses with different groups of family, and every time we've played it, the women have won. It's awful. Awful. And I'm going to tell you, there's been moments this week where my life would have been a lot easier if I just would have learned to shut my mouth. If I just would have learned to shut my mouth, if I just would have reminded myself, I'm baptized. I don't have to say every little thing that pops into my head. I have this great desire to be right every time. Even when we're losing. If we're losing, that's okay. As long as you still acknowledge that I was right, that the rules of the board game are flawed, and that I was right. I'm putting myself on record here. Listen, I'm probably better off for the rest of this day taking a vow of silence, because there's a good chance that before the day's out, we're going to play this game again. And there's going to be a moment, especially if the women start to win, there's going to be a moment where something's going to pop into my head. And either two things are going to happen. I'm going to remind myself that I'm baptized and that my mouth isn't in control of me, or I'm just going to blurt it out. And if I blurt it out, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to get the look. And it's going to come from someone in this area. And she's going to have every right. I promise. She's had every right to. And the look is this. It's a look with one word. Really? And what she's saying with that one word, what she's saying is, really? I thought you were baptized. And I thought that you were raised up to new life in the Spirit. Really? That's what's going to happen. How much easier my life would be. In fact, many of you are thinking right now, all of our lives would be better if you would just shut your mouth. And we could go have a cookie on the way out. There's cookies out there. I don't know how today is going to end. I don't know how this year is going to end. But I know this. My life would be better if I would from time to time remind myself that I'm baptized. If I would understand my identity. If I would understand who the Father is. Who Jesus Christ is. And who I am in Jesus. If I would remind myself of that from time to time, my life would be a lot easier. And I'm really interested to see what God could release me into and what God could release us into if we would hold on to our birthright. If we would hold on to our birthright, and from time to time, if we would remind ourselves of who we are, and if we would remind ourselves that we're baptized. If from time to time, I would remind myself that I am more than a conqueror. If from time to time I would remind myself that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I'm baptized. From time to time I might want to remind myself that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That I am a child of God. I am a new creation. I am baptized. I am free from the law of sin and death. I am a joint heir with Christ. I am an overcomer. I am baptized. I am the head and not the tail. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am healed. I am baptized. I am raised up with Christ and seated in the heavenly places. It is not I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. I am baptized. Church, I think if we would do that in this new year, if we would celebrate our baptism, if we would remember our baptism in this new year, what could God do in and through us? What could God do in and through this church and the ministry of this church? If we would hold on to our birthright, if we would hold on to our identity in Christ Jesus and remind ourselves from time to time who we are in Him. So I want to encourage you to do that. And as I come to this moment here and close this service today, I'll admit to you that one of the things that I've struggled with this year is how to close these services. If you ask me what's been my biggest struggle in this first year, particularly as it relates to Sunday mornings, my biggest struggle is this: how do we close these services? And there's things that we do, and I know we've had some wonderful response times here, and I'm not saying that what we've done has been wrong, but there's just something in me that feels like there's some room for us to grow in this area. So it's something that I'm praying about, and I want to ask you to pray with me about what it is that God might have for us in these services and how we end these services. And I would suggest maybe that with learning some things, there might also be a process of unlearning some things. Maybe some things that we've done, not just in this church, but in church tradition everywhere. Maybe there's just some things that we need to unlearn. So as we go to closing this service, and I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. Before we do, though, there's something about this exchange in Acts chapter 2 that's hit me this week. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. Peter preaches the word, and then the people heard it, and being cut to the heart, they didn't wait for someone to say, bow your heads and raise your hand. They didn't wait for someone to say, hey, come to an altar and pray a prayer. They heard it, and they said, we have to do something. What do we do? And Peter said, repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. So what I want to say to you is this. Don't wait for me to ask. Don't wait for me to ask. If you've been cut to the heart and you're wondering, what do I do? And you're going to come to me and say, what do I do now? I'm going to say this. Repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. There's the water. There's the water. There's nothing stopping us. Like the Ethiopian eunuch with Philip. Philip's teaching him, and they're on the road, and they come to some water, and the Ethiopian eunuch says, is there anything stopping me from being baptized? And the answer is this: no. So right now, in this moment, or any moment from here forward, if you're saying, is there anything, I got to do something, I've been cut to the heart. Maybe it was a prayer that was prayed. Maybe it was something that happened in worship. Maybe it was something that came from the Word. If there's any point where you're cut to the heart and you have that feeling that you have to do something, I'm going to say this: do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? Do you believe that God that raised Him from the dead? And if the answer is yes, then there's the water. Let's get you baptized. And we're going to move on now, and I'm going to tell you to stand up. But even then, when I do that, the moment hasn't passed. If you've been cut to the heart and you want to be baptized, there's the water. So church, let's go ahead and stand up today as we close. And we're going to sing just another song of victory and praise as we close here this morning. The last thing I want to ask you to do is this, church. I want to ask you to do this. I want to ask you to walk in your baptism in 2018. It doesn't matter when you were baptized. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was today. It doesn't matter if it was 50 years ago. I want you to walk in your baptism. I want you to take stock of who your Father is. I want you to be very clear about who Jesus Christ is. And I want you to know who you are in Christ. And if you have to remind yourself every day, if you have to remind yourself every time the flesh wells up, if you have to remind your flesh to get back in the water, that you just remind yourself, I am baptized. And I want us to do that this year. I want us to celebrate new life in the new year. And I want us to go with expectancy to see what God might do in and through this church. Let's worship in this moment. Father, we praise you and thank you. We declare that you are an awesome God. We thank you for every blessing that you've poured out on us in this year. And we desire, Lord, to be released to new ministry and new life in this year of 2018. We wonder, even in this moment, Lord, what could you have in store for us? If we can hold on to our identity in Christ Jesus, what could you do in and through us? Lord, I pray a blessing over each person and over each home in this room today. I pray that each person would walk from here and that they would walk in their baptism and that they would know who they are in you. That each person in here would know that they are the head and not the tail. That each person in here would know that they are redeemed and that they are forgiven and that they are healed. I pray that each person would know that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. And I pray that they would know this because they know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray, church, that you would go from here today and that you would be blessed in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.